Okay, let's get started. My name's Eddie Hill. How many were in the first session? So now I'm in trouble, man. I got to come up with new material for y'all. That's a tough deal. This particular session, we're going to talk about how to build character in a true team. Now, the first thing I want to say is, in the publicity for this, I noticed where it said something about easy ways to build character. Did anybody see that? I'm going to tell you now, I didn't write it. Because there is nothing easy about building character, right? You agree? There are a lot of reasons that building character is tough. Tell me, y'all are warmed up now. This is a participation thing. Tell me some reasons why it's difficult to build character in these kids. Why is it hard? Tell me one. Yes, sir?
We're the only ones doing it.
You're the only ones doing it. Absolutely. Who else?
The media and the internet and stuff, getting bad role models.
Absolutely. Bad role models. Charles Barkley saying, I don't want to be a role model. Well, good, Charles, because I think you're funny, but I don't want you raising my kid, right? So, coaches feel like the only ones doing it. The media certainly puts a slant on things. And back to the point about you're the only one doing it, one inner city coach told me he has 80% of his players, the father is nowhere to be found, and they're being raised by their grandparents. Raised by their grandparents. That's the norm. Would y'all agree with that, or is that somewhat the case, or what? Is that accurate that a lot of the kids don't have dads at home especially? Okay. The other issue is that maybe players aren't as smart as they used to be. I'm just kidding about that, but it's leading into what I want to tell you. Earl Campbell said that he was the second best football player in his family. You ever heard about this? True story. Earl Campbell at a golf tournament told this. He said, I was the second best football player in my family. He said, my brother, Johnny, was better. And Johnny was a big old middle linebacker. And this kid was tough, he said. And he said, Johnny was a better player than I was. But Johnny was not the smartest guy in the world. And one night during a big game, the coach called Johnny over to the sideline. And he said, come here, Johnny. Johnny came over there, and he gets up next to him. And coach says, Johnny, I want you to go back into that huddle, and I want you to get ferocious. And his brother stood there and looked at him and said, okay. He said, I want you to go back in that huddle, and I want you to get ferocious. Said his brother, said, okay, coach. So he trots over to the huddle, you know, and he gets in there, and he stops. He looks around, calls timeout, comes back to the sideline. He goes, excuse me, coach, which one's ferocious? Which one is ferocious? Maybe the kids aren't as smart as they used to be. That is not the problem. Because we talked earlier about how we know they're smarter. My kid yesterday told me, Daddy, we're doing biographies about Abraham Lincoln. We're doing biographies about Abraham Lincoln. My child is 6 years old. We're doing biographies. I didn't know what a biography was until I think I was in junior high school. But this internet, they are smarter. However, they're raising themselves. What I want you to do now is I want you to turn to a partner, just real quick, and I want you to tell your partner who helped instill some character traits in you. And what I want you to tell that person is who the person was that instilled that character trait and what was it. Real quickly. We've got to do it quick. Find somebody real quick. Just find somebody. You introduce yourselves. You're all coaches in this together. Who was it and what did they teach you? Was it your daddy?
Grandpa.
Oh, grandpa.
Integrity.
His what?
Integrity.
And your grandpa taught you integrity. Very good. What was yours? Billy, who taught you? Your dad? Your dad. Okay, do y'all have a second to do that? How many in this room would say your father was a major influence in your life and taught you some of these character lessons? Put your hands down. Who's teaching them now? Their fathers aren't there for whatever reason. Their mothers do the best they can, but they're probably doing what? Working to put food on the table, right? So character issues are extremely important. We can all raise our hands and say our fathers, and I can too. And your father will be proud that you said that, I might add. But who do these kids go to? And the truth of the matter is, they come to you all. They're either going to come to you or they're going to go to whom? Gang leaders or people who don't have their best interest in heart or TV or internet or whatever. And so character issues are really important for several reasons. Why is character so important? Why is it important to build character in these young men's lives? Why is it important? Who's it important for? Who is it important? Huh?
Society.
It's important for society, right? For society. I mean, let alone our team, but it's important for society as well to teach character. And it comes back to us. The big old question is what? How do we do that? How do we build character in the young people that we all have to coach? And what are we talking about? When you're talking about building character, what kind of topics are you talking about? We're going to add to my list up here, by the way. What kind of characteristics are you talking about building? What are you looking for? What are you trying to help them with? Y'all say it's important. What do you help them build? What are you trying to instill in them? What did your daddy teach you?
Discipline.
Discipline. Okay, that's a great one. Discipline. What else? What other kind of character traits are you trying to teach in them?
Hard work.
Absolutely. Let's add hard work up to the list. What else?
Responsibility.
What else?
Accountability.
What else?
How to be a man.
That's a great one. How to be a man. Who's going to teach them that? Truth is, it comes back to coaches, right? So the question then becomes, how do we do that? We all agree it's important, right? For a lot of reasons. I say mainly for the kid. It's mainly important for the kid. Let me tell you who helped me. And let me tell you what a two-minute conversation can do for a young man. 30 years ago, I'm 42 now, 30-some years ago, I went with my father to visit his Army buddy, a guy named Bobby Beeson. And my dad was a Green Beret. I still got some bruises, I'm sure. No, I'm kidding. But we went to see his Army buddy, Bobby Beeson. And I remember getting out of that car at Bobby Beeson's house in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And I got out, and here came this big old Army scrapping dude with that crew cut, you know, and he was tall, and he had that chin, and he stuck his hand out to me. How you doing, young man? Looked me in the eye and shook my hand, right? That was awesome. I was just like, wow. So we were there at Bobby's house all day long. In the afternoon, his son decided to do a little yard work, so I decided to help him out. So I'll go mow or whatever. So I go out there, you know, and I get that lawnmower, and I fire it up, and I start mowing that grass. I'm going to help out the Beesons, right? And after a few minutes, Bobby came out there, 12 years old, mowing his grass. He comes out there, and he goes like this. And I turned off the lawnmower, right? And I said, yes, sir. He said, son, you're doing a good job cutting this grass. I appreciate you cutting our grass. He said, however, let me tell you something. He said, when you're mowing grass, there's a right way to do it. And he said, if you're going to do it right, do it what? Do it the first time. He said, you take that lawnmower and you push it forward. He said, then you do what? You come back again and you mow it one more time. Now, remember, he's in the Army. So they have lots of time to do everything twice. But he said, you can move it forward and you move it back. He said, that grass will be just clean as a whistle. And then you go to the next row and you go forward and then you back up in the exact same spot. And I said, well, yes, sir. And I didn't think anything about it. There's not a day goes by that I don't vacuum my house. And I don't do it much. But I grab that vacuum cleaner and guess what I do? I go down, and I stop, and I do what? And I come back, and I hear Bobby Beeson telling me what? If you're going to do it, son, do it right. You think that's a good lesson? Kids are starving for people to teach them about how to be a man and how to be a good citizen. They're starving for it. And so we got to figure out ways to do it. That little two-minute encounter has lasted me a lifetime. Your encounters with your players last a lifetime, and you have no idea. That's why it's so important. What we're looking for, too, is a combination of traits. We're looking not just for honesty or integrity, but we're looking for all of it. We're trying to build the whole person, right? How do we build character? A couple years ago, the NFL did a study. And what they studied is how do you build character in athletes? And so they got 10 high school coaches, 10 extremely successful high school coaches. And here's what the 10 coaches said do. And we're going to go through these 7 things, okay? Here's how they say to do it. First one is promote relationships with the players. Have an open door policy. Why is an open door policy to your players so important? Why is it important that your players know they can come to you? That's right. It says, number one, that you care. What else does it show? What else does it show that you tell your young men, in this case, your athletes, that they may come to your office and talk to you? They can trust you. What else? Why else is it important that they can do what? They can come to you and talk. Talk. Who else are they going to go to for those lessons? When I was in high school, I didn't know where my coach's office was. Let alone did I know I could go to it and knock on his door and talk to him. Would anybody be bothered if a player came and knocked on your door to talk to you? Not one of you. Here's the other important point about that. Even if they never come and knock on your door, they know what? They know what? That you're there for them anyway. And if they need you, you're there. So number one, promote an open door policy. Number two, have clear expectations and hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. I did a drill team yesterday, 50, 60, 70 girls, and it's drill team. We're talking about different issues. And I asked them, what's fun about being on the drill team? And they were talking about friends and all that. And I said, well, give me reasons why it's good to be on the drill team. And one young lady said, because we're taught how to be a lady. We're taught to be held accountable. This is a student who is recognizing how important it is for adults to help mold their lives. I mean, she could have been flippant and said, oh, I like the friends, I like the travel. No, we are being held accountable. In other words, what we do matters to someone. So hold them accountable, number two. Number three, be flexible in dealing with players. Every situation's different. Anybody work 3 jobs in high school and play football? Anybody have to play football and pay the light bill? Are they doing it now? You've got kids that are playing for you that are paying the light bill. Who knows what's going on in their home? Who knows what their situation is? And it's important at times for you to be flexible with them. Right? You just don't know. If you talk to them, you'll find out. Here's one thing about talking to a player, by the way. Let me give you a new way to talk to a player. Say a player's messing up and you got to talk to him. Here's a way to do this, and this is a way that they do it in business a lot of times now. Instead of going over and saying, what's your name? Don? Is it Don?
Don.
Going over to Don and say, Don, you messed up on that, son. You got to do it this way. And I understand you've been coming to practice late every day. I want you to cut that out. What happens to Don? You know, you may not see Don anymore. Don may not speak, Don may not do anything. As opposed to saying, going to Don and saying what? Hey, Don, let's visit after practice. We'll meet over to water fountain or whatever. Not make a big deal, but go over to Don and say, and then go over to Don and say, Don, let me tell you what I observed. You've been coming to practice late, a lot lately, right? And he's going to say what? Yeah, but have you said you? Did you indict him? Did you yell at him? He said, son, what I have observed, what I've witnessed is this. You hadn't got on him yet, have you? No. You said, what I've witnessed, what I've seen is this. And then describe the behavior that you see. And then you know what you do next? You say, is that right? You're asking the player what? What he thinks. Give me your side. Generation Y is used to that. They're used to people asking them what they think. They help make decisions at their homes when their family buys something now, right? Does your high school kids and your junior high kids not give input now when you go to buy a TV set? I watch whatever my dad brought home, right? Now I have a family powwow and they discuss things. Ask the player, Don, is that right? And the player's going to say what? Yes, sir. That's right. I've been coming late because of whatever. And then you have to say what next? Don, let me tell you how that affects the whole team. When you're not there, it does this and this and this. And then lastly, we're going to say what? Don, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? And he's going to say what? I'm going to get my butt here. Coach, I'm sorry I was late. I've frankly been working late at night. I've been studying for these exams. I've been pulling my hair out. I will be here. And you say to him, son, do I have a commitment for you that you're going to be here on time to practice? It's important. And he's going to say what? Yes, sir. Have you attacked him? Have you attacked him? Did you raise your voice at him? No. Did you hold him accountable? Yes. Did you respect him enough to ask him what he thinks? Yes. He agreed to do what? He agreed to do what? Be on time. You think he will? You'll be amazed. Because you've shown respect to him. You asked him what he thought, and you held him accountable. Number four goes into this. Player discipline emphasized. If you don't do this, this is what happens. Did that happen in your house growing up? I was real clear on that. I had to be home at 11 o'clock. I thought my parents were terrible. 11 o'clock, I had to be home. Well, let me tell you what. Come 10 minutes to 11, I'm thinking what? I got to get home. Kids now don't have that. But you have to hold them accountable, and you have to say there's discipline. And if you're late for a team meeting, so-and-so is going to happen. If you're late for practice, this is what's going to happen. Is that mean? That's the way life is. That's the way life is. Can you show up at school late and your principal just say, oh, no problem? Is that the way life is when they have a job? No. And so you're trying to create an environment and you're trying to teach them to be responsible adults. Number five, teamwork instilled. Teamwork instilled. In other words, the whole idea of working together is extremely important and you talk about it all the time. Y'all been watching the Olympics with this deal with Shawnee, the ice skater, you know, and he was supposed to participate with the four other players, and at the last second, 5 days earlier, he said, hey, fellas, I'm not skating with y'all. I got a better chance to win a gold in the 1,000, and I'm going to do it on my own. How's that set with you fellas? Not too well. Character makes a difference in our society and in their lives. Teamwork. We really are better together. I always give a quiz. I do these company deals. I give it's called a Mensa quiz. That's the smart people that give all these tests. They didn't call me either, so don't feel bad. But they have a smart club, Mensa people, they call it. And they do all these smart things. But they have a quiz. There's 33 questions on this quiz, and the first one's not too bad. The first one is like, you have to figure out what is 24H and a D. All right, fellas, what is it? 24H and a D means what? 24 hours in a day. Number two is 7DOA. 7DOA means what? Seven what? 7 days in a week. See, y'all are pretty smart here. And then it gets a little bit harder. The next one is 12S of the Z. 12S? Yes, sir. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. 12 signs of the zodiac. Well, they get progressively harder. Here's what's funny. The first minute I get these corporate people, they are feeling smart, baby. They are just rolling right down this thing. And then it gets harder. And then it gets harder. And then it gets harder. And they start slowing down. And some of the really smart ones can keep going, but most of them stop. And I make them do this for like 3 or 4 minutes. And after a minute and a half, they start scratching their head. They start looking around the room. And then I say, okay, now let's get four of you together. You and you and you and you, let's get together. And let's take the same quiz. Guess what starts happening? It is amazing. Out of 33 questions, a lot of groups will get 25, 26. I mean, some of that stuff is hard. What's the point? Why'd I give them that? What am I trying to prove? Teamwork. A piece of twine by itself is not very strong. You put 7, 8, 9 pieces up together and you twist it just so, it becomes what? Rope. And it is strong and a force to be reckoned with. The coach from Oklahoma State was telling me earlier, he says, you know what we do? He said, we take tongue depressors. And I take one tongue depressor and I give it to a kid and I say, break that for me. Snap. Okay, here's 2 tongue depressors. He gives it to another player. Break this for me. Snap. 3. Snap. 4. Snap. 5. Guess what starts happening when he gets to 10? You can't break it. Gets to 10 pieces that thin together. You can't break it. He said, we put a piece of tape around it. Cannot break it. It's all about teamwork. Many hands make for light work. It's real important. Let's do a little exercise. Give me you four gentlemen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All 5 of y'all come up here, please. How are we doing on time? How much longer? 35 minutes. Oh, we got lots of time. Okay, get in a circle, please. How about you come join us? In a circle, please. Okay.
You going to do up downs or what?
No, maybe. Drop down and give me 50. I always wanted to say it. I never get to say it to anybody. Sit right here. I got a 6-year-old boy, though. Here, hold these. He's holding 2 dumbbells, by the way. Okay, he's going to hold these 2 dumbbells. Okay, y'all can take 1 step back. Y'all like in a huddle, aren't you, man? I tell you. Okay. Oh, remind me, I'll tell you another little huddle story. If y'all get clicks on your team, anybody ever had that problem? You got cliques, you got sophomores and juniors and seniors, and they're fighting. You can do this, and we did this yesterday. What I did was I put them in huddles just like this, and I went over this group, and I said, okay, everybody get in real close. Come here real close. Okay, guys, here's what you're going to do. You're going to keep out that group over there. That's your job. You're going to keep out that group over there. And they said, okay, whatever you got to do, keep them out. So then I go over to this group. I say, okay, folks, your job over here is to what? Get in that group over there. You're trying to get in there, okay? And they're like, okay, fine. And then I got all the groups, all 8 different bunches of people at the same time. And I say, now, nobody hurt anyone. If somebody gets injured, it's going to be bad. Don't hurt anybody. On your mark, get set, go. And it's mass pandemonium. I mean, you got people, man, they are just climbing over, under, doing all this stuff trying to get in. And these guys just lock together and keep them out. It's amazing how they keep them out. Well, after 3 seconds, man, everybody's laughing. Everybody's exhausted. You got kids jumping. You got kids. And everybody's laughing doing what? And then I have them do what? I have them sit down. And I say what? Okay, men, how did it feel to be the guys on the outside? And some of these kids will say what? I didn't like it. Didn't feel too good out there. And I say to them, that's what you do to each other all the time with this freshman and sophomore and junior and senior crap. You are a team. You are the football team from this high school. You are one team. And we talk about those that pushed out and those that were trying to get in. And that's the way it is. But let me tell you, it makes the point real well in that setting. Now, with this situation here, what I do is I get the players together and I say to them, okay, I want you to hold this in your left hand no matter what. Okay? Is it getting heavier?
Nah,
no problem. Okay, now, do you think those 2 dumbbells are just about equally weighed?
Yes.
You cheated. You saw the 2 7s on the end, didn't you? All right. So you got the 2 dumbbells, and they're both about the same weight, right? Okay, now I want you to keep holding that one in your left hand just like this. The one in your right hand, I want you to pass to the next person, and then we're going to keep passing it all the way around. Just keep passing it all the way around. You just keep holding that one. Now, as I'm passing this dumbbell around the room, I want you to think about this. Just keep passing. The work that's being passed around this room right now represents the work we have to do at Butler High School. This represents all the hard work that we've got to do. This represents all the goals that we have before us. It's going to take our whole team to do it. Now pass it back to him. Now tell me, I know they're still the same, but which one feels heavier? The one you've been holding by yourself, right? Fellas, that's the way it is in teamwork. The one that you passed around, was it heavy? Did you even feel it? No. Many hands make for light work. I'll see you at practice tomorrow. Guys, for teamwork, there's a million kind of exercises that you can do to build character in a player, to make them understand the idea and the importance of teamwork. I made that thing up from glasses, from 2 glasses at a banquet one night. Right, Ron? 2 glasses at a banquet. I'm no brain surgeon. Look around and figure out what you can use to teach teamwork. A lady this week on the phone told me, a coach, she said, I'll tell you something I'm going to do. And I don't know, if maybe somebody's done it. Again, we steal all this. She said, I have a marble. And I give a player at the beginning of the week a marble. And she said, those players carry that marble around with them all week long. And she said, after the game, I want them to take that marble, if they've given their all, and put it in the fishbowl. And if they haven't given their all, guess what? Don't put that marble in the fishbowl. As a matter of fact, if the effort is so poor, they can do what? The coach or the player. Reach in and take that marble out and give it back to you. So that means the kid has what this week walking around? Two marbles clicking, 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 reminding them what? They didn't put forth the effort that they should have. What's the best kind of motivation, by the way? What's the best kind of motivation? Yourself. It's when it comes from within. I think motivation only lasts so long. Inspiration lasts forever. Because when you're inspired, you do it yourself. When I went off to college, I told my youth minister I was worried. And Bobby said, why are you worried? I said, well, I'm worried. I said, you know, to be honest with you. I said, you know, I'm going off to college, man, a bunch of new people, and how smarter than I am. And I was kind of worried. Bobby said, don't be worried. Be concerned. He said, there's a difference. When you're worried, you don't act. When you're concerned, you do something about it. When you worry about something, you're just there. Be concerned and do something about it. And what Bobby went on to explain to me, sitting on the steps in Greensboro, North Carolina, was college was an opportunity to change anything I wanted about myself. He goes, Ed, you only get about 40s your whole life. He said, you have a new opportunity to change, grow, anything you want to do. Building character in young people's lives. Teamwork is very important. The rest of your life, in your marriage, you better understand teamwork, right? In your job, you better understand teamwork. Because you're not going to like it, because what's going to happen is you're going to get a job, and there used to be 5 people doing that job, and now there's how many people doing that job? 3. Or maybe 2. So, teamwork, very important. Number 6 is goal setting. Do you have good goals? Have you helped the player come up with some good goals? And do you have a positive attitude? Do you help the kid come up with a positive attitude? You might wonder what this potato was for. Here's what I do with the potato on teaching positive thinking. Come up here, coach. You think you can take this straw and give me one more, you too. You two are going to take these potatoes and these straws. You think you can jab this straw into this potato? And usually what I do is I get about 10 players at one time. Okay, you think you can get that straw in that potato?
I don't think so.
Did you hear that?
Law of physics.
I didn't think so, he said. You think you can do that?
No.
No? Well, looky there. What'd you say over there? He didn't say, I think so. I don't think so, right? Okay, can you do it over there? If you think you can, you can. If you don't think you can, you won't. You getting over? Looky there. Let me show you a trick, fellas. What'd I do? I took my thumb and I put over the end of that little air hole. And it's almost like a knife. If you think you can, you can. If you don't think you can, you won't. Most of your players are going to be doing this and job it up and up, and it's going to look like, you know, that. And you take another one, put your thumb over the end, and shove it right in. Attitude. Young, sit down. Attitude. If you think you can, you can. Instead of me talking about attitude, we just do that. Goal setting. Goal setting is extremely important. Grant Taft said he had to sit down with this freshman and say, son, what are your goals? And I believe in your packet is a goal-setting sheet about what they perceive their goals to be. You have to have buy-in. If the kid doesn't help with the goals, he's not going to achieve them. Last thing is tough love. You may be all the father figure they have. You're it. You may be the only adult male figure that they really see and they listen to. Kids want to do what? Two things. They want to believe and they want to belong. You agree? Character. There's nothing more important. The last thing I would say to you, and I have to give my wife the credit for this one. She said, Eddie, there's something missing. And I said, what? She said, how about be a good example? Be a good example. I was riding to the TCU banquet the other night with a football referee. The guy told me, he said, you're doing what? I said, well, I'm writing a book on how coaches can motivate players, all these different little things they can do, and how to build a team. He said, I'll tell you this. He said, you tell your football coaches this. And I said, what's that? He said, tell them how to tell a player to hand the ball back to an official. And I said, what do you mean? He said, let me tell you, I can tell you in the first 5 minutes of a game the way a team is. He said, some of these players will take the ball and just throw it down and walk off. He said, I know it's going to be a long night. And he said, but I know something else too. I know what? I know their coach who allows that. We're talking about building character in young people. At work, can you just throw something down and walk off? In your marriage, to have a good marriage, can you just throw something down and walk off? No, you can't. Anything else about character that you would add that you think is important? What else is important about building character? I'll tell you this. Players may not remember what you say. They may not remember what you say. They will always remember how you made them feel. They will always remember how you made them feel. Last part we're going to do now is how to build a true team. How to build a true team. And what I've come up with is the thing called victory. Now, I have a company called Team Up. And what I do is team building kind of stuff all the time. Just, that's it. I make a living, believe it or not. And the reason is companies and teams and organizations want their people working together. And so I try to think of all these ways that I can prove that point, that if you work together, it's more fun and more productive. So I'm always looking for that. And so what I finally came up with is this. It's called the victory method. V stands for what? Vision. Anybody know what Proverbs 3 says? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. On a football team, on an athletic team, where does that vision come from? The coach. The coach and the coaches. That's where the vision comes from. So the first thing is, you have to have a vision, right? You have to know where your team is headed. You have to know where you're going. You have to know how you're going to get there. But it starts with the idea. It starts with the idea. So be thinking about where you're headed and how you're going to get there. The next thing is on inclusion. Have you included everyone? It's very important. Have you included everyone? A coach from Arkansas was telling me the other day, he says, I got the greatest wide receivers in the world walking right down the hall, and I don't even know their name. What is the deal with that? Where do you have to recruit? Where do you have to recruit? In your own school. You got to go talk to players. You got to invite them to come out. When I was in high school, they did what? They hung a piece of paper up on the wall, and it said, football's April 15th. You want to come out? It's at 3 o'clock. Wear shorts and cleats. Can you do that these days? Can you get away with that and get all the players you need? No. Here's another thing. You have young men that are dying to come out, and they won't for whatever reason. So you may have to go get them. Now, here's a two-edged sword. Not only do they need the help, you might find a nugget, right? Everybody knows that Michael Jordan was cut when? In the ninth grade from his basketball team. You think they might have missed something? I mean, I feel bad for the coach. Everybody's been there, right? But you never know. Inclusion. Do people feel included? On your team, do people feel included? Does everyone really feel like a part of the team? And there are ways that you do that. We talked before about making them feel special by wearing your logo. Don't let them wear that logo until they understand how important it is. But once you're included, you're included. Include everyone. I mean, young, old, it doesn't matter. You never know. It's very important. The next thing is competition. C stands for competition. We talked earlier about game day. I've interviewed all these retired coaches writing this book. Guess what they miss the most? The parents. No, I'm kidding. I know, get a laugh out of it. They miss what the most? Competition. They miss game day. They miss drawing things up on a napkin and a Denny's, and then Friday night, it just unfolds right before them. They miss what? The competition. They miss the competition. And just as important it is for you, it is for the players. Again, we talked about the four reasons why players play sports. Number one is what? Have fun. Number two is what? To be on the team. Number three is what? To be with their buddies. Number four is what? To compete. They want to compete. Even Generation Y wants to compete. They do get that. So get them involved. All kind of competitions, get them involved. The next thing, of course, in the victory is teamwork. Again, to instill the whole work of teamwork in them. I don't care how you do it. You can use a potato. You can give awards out. You can do for all the marbles. You can do crossing the Rubicon. This friend of mine was reading a story. The guy that's helped me write the book said, man, I was helping in a history class the other day, and they were talking about the story about Julius Caesar and how he was told to come to Rome. And as he was going to Rome, they said, but when you come, don't what? Anybody remember the story? When you come to Rome, Caesar, don't bring your army. Caesar gets the Rubicon army, and he thinks, I got two choices here. I can cross this river with my soldiers. I can go alone. If I go with my soldiers, there's going to be war. If I go alone, they're probably going to kill me. So guess what he did? He goes to the Rubicon River with his soldiers, and he crosses the Rubicon River, and he stands on the other side, and he tells his men, men, if you cross this Rubicon River, you may die, because we're going to Rome, and they may kill us. But if you come across this river, that means that you're totally committed to what we're doing. So if you choose to cross, you're with me. If you choose to go back, I'm not going to fault you for it. But once you cross this river, you're with me. And guess what the men did? One by one, right through that water to the other side. Caesar went into Rome and took over the city and became the greatest emperor ever. What Jim suggests in the book is you do what? You take your players to a creek, and you put the players on one side, and you put your coaches on the other side, and you say, fellas, we're a heck of a team. We're going to be great together. If you choose to come across this water, that means you're with us wholeheartedly. If you choose to quit, that is your choice. And then obviously he goes on and on. And he said, players, it's up to you. Are you willing to cross the Rubicon for your team? And guess what happens? I don't know. It depends on the vision that you've painted for them. Teamwork is what we're talking about. Oh, obtainable goals. What kind of goals do you have? Are they realistic for the players? Are they realistic for your team? If you ask a player, what's your goal for the season? They're going to say what? What does every kid say? What's your goal for the season? I want to win state. If I go to a Christmas party and I ask my nephew, you're on the football team. What are your goals this year? Oh, we're going to win state. How many teams won state last year? 5? Does that mean everyone else are losers? No, absolutely not. Generation Y certainly doesn't see it that way. Obtainable goals for each player and for your team. Are they realistic? Have them. R is what? Respect. R is respect. Y'all tell me 4 ways that you can teach respect. Give me 4, please. What's the way you can teach respect, Gene?
Lead by example.
Lead by example. Absolutely. If you want to teach respect, lead by example. And be respectful of your players, of what you say about your opponents. Be respectful. What else? What are 3 other ways that you can build respect? Teach respect. Being examples, 1. Y'all are smart. Y'all can think of these. What are they? Think of any others? Other ways that you can teach respect. Number 1, be an example. Number 2, be careful what you say. that you know they are watching you all the time. And they're watching to see if you give respect to your spouse, to your family, to your team, to your school, everyone. That's what they're looking for. How else can we teach respect? How else can we teach respect? Yes, sir.
Make sure they're treating the teachers correctly.
Absolutely. That's a great one. He said, make sure they're teaching, they're treating the teachers with respect. In other words, applaud respectful behavior. When you see a player throw a football down to a referee, you need to do what? It's time out, fellas. Right? It's time to hold somebody accountable because we want everyone to understand we're going to respect the officials. We're going to respect our opponents. And you acknowledge good behavior, too. You don't let them do the bad, but you recognize the good. And we talked before about see it, say it. When you see something good, acknowledge it, especially in teaching respect. What else? Those are three good ones. One more? You might think of how else you can teach respect. A coach told me Friday night in Houston, he said, Eddie, out of everything, he said, teaching respect. He said, man, that's what I want to get across. I want to teach them how to respect each other. Any other ways you can think of? Talk about respect. All it's continual, isn't it? That's great. Talk about respect. Teach respect. One coach, what he does is he has what's called a word of the day. And he'll take respect, for instance. And he has a coach's meeting. He says, look, guys, the word for the day is respect. As many ways as you can get that idea across about how to respect people, we want to do that. And so in a blocking drill, they talk about respect. I mean, when a player start arguing with each other, the coach does what? Stops them and says, fellas, do you respect each other? You may not like each other right now, but do you respect each other as men, as teammates? So you talk about it. You teach it continually. I love the idea of the word of the day. He'll do courage, respect, honesty. And then what happens is it's just not a coach doing a five-minute vignette. It's a team that continually talks about that idea. And then the next day, they go to something else. The last one is a yes, we can attitude. Do we have a yes, we can attitude? A lot of times we don't. Do we have the right attitude? What does your body language say, by the way? Does your body language say you have a good attitude? Let me ask you this question. How do your kids learn? By what you say or what you do? My friend was describing the other night about how in that basketball game, when he had to put in the eighth player and he didn't have one he felt confident about. He said the coach's body language is like this. What does that say? What does your body language say? They're watching more your body language than what you say. So how do you carry yourself? Do you have a yes, we can attitude? Now, does that mean you've got to be in la-la land? No, it doesn't mean you have to be in la-la band. But I tell you one thing it is, they want you to be positive. Be positive. It's incredible force. People ask me all the time, how'd you get through so-and-so? I don't know. I just did. I didn't sit at home. I didn't stay on my couch. Y'all know how I got to go to this deal? Went to San Antonio to the band conference. I do all these big band things, right? And I see all these coaches. I'm thinking, what are all these characters doing? All these guys, man, it's hot. Y'all remember how many went to the thing this summer? And I go over to the coaching booth and I buy some books on motivation. I thought, I wonder what coaches are reading for motivation. And Dan Taylor, who runs these shows, said, what do you buy all these books for? I said, well, I work with companies and teams and organizations. I got to do a NASCAR team and all kind of fun stuff. And he said, wow, you got a card? I said, yeah, I'll give him a card. And next thing you know, he calls me. Next thing you know, I'm here at the Glazier Clinic, right? Yes, we can. I had no idea going to San Antonio what would happen, right? Do we ever know? It's your attitude. It's do you get up and do you go for it? People want to follow a positive influence. People are starving for something positive. If you try to, I like the idea of my kid watching the news. Be 6 years old. What's the problem with watching the news? It's bad and bad and bad. They want to hear something positive. Your young people want to hear something positive. Here's another thing. Your community wants to hear something positive, right? And guess who they look to? You guys. And so that positive kind of spirit. And I'll end on this. Three men were busting rocks one day in a quarry. They're out there busting rocks, all three of them, just sweating like crazy. Somebody goes up to the first man and says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm busting rocks." They go to the next man and say, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm busting rocks." He said, "It's my job. I do it from 8 o'clock in the morning. I do it to 6 o'clock in the evening. I quit and I go home." And he asked the third man, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm building a cathedral. I'm building a cathedral." How do you guys look at what you're doing? What are you building? What are you building in young people's lives? And what kind of program are you building? Where's your vision? Are you including people? Are you letting them compete? Are you preaching teamwork? What else is there? Do you have obtainable goals? Are you realistic in your goals? Do you have a yes, we can attitude? What questions do you have? Or what would you add to what we've talked about on building character or building a team? What have y'all find that works with building a team? What have y'all done? Y'all done any kind of outings or stuff like that? What have y'all done? You done anything? I heard some stories earlier. We've done the marbles thing. We've done the light thing. What else? The dumbbell thing. Yes, sir.
We kind of have a thing after the season's over. We have a senior walk, and we line up all the underclassmen, uh-huh. and we take the seniors and walk each one by them and tell them what it meant to play for them, and then we send everybody off, and then we do some things with just the seniors on the field. And all
sure.
the kids kind of look forward to what they're doing out there, what's happening.
Right, right.
Kind of, it's kind of, they all, well, what goes on out there?
What goes on?
So that's team, and they all want to be part of that.
They want to be part of it. What did I say? They want to believe. They want to belong. Absolutely. Has anybody ever done the deal where you say who you're playing for? You ever seen this? When a player goes in the stands and gets someone and says, "I'm playing for you," and a lot of times it's their mother or their father or their uncle or whoever, and they have an adult or a person standing there, and they walk them onto the field, and the player says to them, "I'm playing for you tonight," and the person says something back to them in a positive way, and then the person goes back to the stands and the player goes and plays. "I'm playing for you tonight." Do you think they'd play harder? Absolutely. Anything else that you would add? I'd say rely on your experience. It's amazing how many stories and things that y'all know. And I've heard so many people tell me, I thought about doing this, I thought about doing that. Let me tell you, go for it. How many of you heard the story of, I'll end on this. How many of you heard the story of Grant Taft keeping the worms warm? You ever heard that story? I don't tell if everybody in here knows it, but before like the 1979 season, Baylor was going to play Texas, and they were a big-time underdog, and they were all uptight, man. They were like, "Oh, we're going to," they knew it would be a tough game. And Grant Taft had read a story. This is in his last book, which I, again, think you should buy. He says to his players, he says, "Guys," and this was before the game during the week. He says, "Fellas," he said, "let me tell you about two Eskimos." He said, "One of them was catching all the fish, and another Eskimo wasn't, and they couldn't figure out why." So finally, the one Eskimo says to his other Eskimo friend, he says, "How come you're catching all the fish?" And the Eskimo catching all the fish reaches in and says, "You got to keep the worms warm." And he pulls a worm out of his mouth. He said, "That worm doesn't like to hit that water and get all cold." He said, "You got to keep the worms warm." So all the players, laughed about that story, and they go off and they prepare all week long. And then Grant Taft went to some of his players, and this is a true story, by the way. He says, he goes to his players, to a couple of them, and says, "Hey, guys, I'm going to try something pretty out there before the Texas game. What do you think?" And the players were like, "Hey, if you're willing to do it, go for it." So Grant Taft, minutes before the Texas game, in the locker room, calls all his players in there. Now, of course, y'all all have to try this, by the way, when you get back to your school. Grant Taft calls them all in there in the locker room, and he says, "Fellas, you remember the other day I was telling you about how those Eskimos were fishing and one kept the worms warm?" He said, "Players, I got to tell y'all have done a great job preparing this week. We have a great game plan. We have y'all have really worked hard. You understand exactly what's expected of you, and you have done everything that we've asked of you. At this point, there is nothing else that we can do as coaches. It's up to you now when you go out there. But as for me, I will be here, and I will keep the worms warm." And he reaches into his mouth, and he pulls out a worm and he shows it to them. And the Baylor Bears went out of that locker room, wacko, and beat Texas 38-7. Keep the worms warm. Again, all of you have to try that, by the way, this fall back at your school. The point is this, try something. Think of what it takes to mold lives and think about how you can challenge people, okay? Again, I appreciate you all coming. Thank you all very much. If you have an idea, write it down or tackle me. I'd love to hear it. Thank you all again.